Hey, this is Jeff Ratcliffe here. What are your main complaints about daily fantasy sports? How about that there's no value? Your money goes in, doesn't ever seem to come out, and you get to play for only one day. Or is it because there's so many experts you just never seem to win? Well, now you can play something better. Stat Hero. Stat Hero is the very first house-based game that combines the best of daily fantasy sports and survivor pools. Each Stat Hero contest lasts multiple days but requires only one entry fee, so your money lasts longer. Again, you can play multiple days with only one entry fee, and it's really simple. If you survive to the next round, you get paid. With Stat Hero, every round you advance means more money. Here's the best part. No more competing with the sharks or experts ever, because your only competition is Stat Hero itself. Survive the game and get ready to play the next chapter in fantasy sports. Finally, a game that was designed for the rest of us. Stat Hero is here. To download the app, go to stathero.com. What is up? It's Pro Football Focus Fantasy Podcast. My name is Jeff Ratcliffe, and it is Wednesday, October 16th. And we are back with another edition of the pod. Got to break down rankings on the show for you today. Interesting day yesterday with some trades going down across the NFL at the cornerback position. For a brief moment in time, it looked like the Los Angeles Rams were essentially going to be starting nobody at corner because Aqib Talib going to injured reserve. Marcus Peters going to Baltimore, but they had bigger moves in play, obviously grabbing Jalen Ramsey, two firsts and a fourth-round pick in exchange for Jalen Ramsey. The questions, well, whether or not first and foremost he suits up this week, then does Ramsey actually shadow in that defense? I don't have an answer for you in either spot. I'm not going to downgrade Julio Jones at this point, but of course rankings always change throughout the course of the week. That's why it's good to always check out over at PFF.com. And I got to tell you, I know people listening to this pod, you listening to this pod, you may be an elite subscriber. So you may be in on the elite Facebook group. You may be somebody who doesn't subscribe at all and barely goes to the website. Like, I get it. There's a wide range of people and everybody in between. But every week, I tell you, the big thing that I see, especially when it's game day, so if it's Thursday or if it's Sunday, people want to know who to start. I mean, hey, it's obvious. It's the oldest. It's a question as old as fantasy football itself. Should I start this guy or this guy, right? Well, that's all answered for you. It is all answered for you in rankings. And literally, I don't do this to say what you want to hear. I know a lot of people know that about me. I do, essentially, my advice is the advice I would give myself. And when I set my starting lineups in my season-long leagues, I use my rankings and I go straight by my rankings. I don't go based on what some commissioner site projects my team as. I don't go based on what I think, feel, or believe. I go based on the rankings. And you can too. Like if you have a question of one wide receiver or the other, go to PFF.com, check out the rankings. If you have a question in your flex spot, I actually have flex rankings. So you can easily figure out who to start and sit. And it saves you a whole heck of a lot of time of running around trying to chase down answers on the internet, right? So anyway, check that out. Rankings change through the course of the week. Let's dive into quarterback here. At the top, I actually don't have Patrick Mahomes this week, but he's not too far away. He's at number two. Deshaun Watson comes in as the top guy. I don't think there's a lot separating these two now, so it's really just a matchup upgrade, downgrade type thing. Not that it's a major upgrade for Watson or anything like that, but it is a little bit of a downgrade for Mahomes. Plus, he is playing hobbled. If he was fully healthy, there's no downgrading him, but he's hobbled here on a Thursday on a short week on the road. But you start him no matter what. If you have Mahomes and Watson, that shouldn't happen in a regular season-long league. Maybe in a dynasty league, that's about the only place I could see that happening. But you shouldn't have that decision anywhere. So you start Mahomes until further notice. Lamar Jackson is elite. He comes in at three. In fact, I would say that there are really five elite fantasy quarterbacks you're starting no matter what this season. Watson, Mahomes, Jackson, Matt Ryan comes in at four this week, and then Russell at five. All five of those guys you start every week. And by the way, if you have, let's say, Russell Wilson and Lamar Jackson, It really doesn't matter who you start each week. It really doesn't matter. People sweat those details so much. But the reality is, either way, you're starting a top five fantasy quarterback. So it doesn't really matter who you start. You're going to be just fine. You did very well for yourself. So pat yourself on the back. And this week, I mean, yeah, sure, I'd go Lamar, but I wouldn't talk you out of Russell because there's really not that big of a difference between the two of them in terms of overall fantasy upside. Kyler Murray coming in at six this week against the Giants. We saw his passing numbers pick up last week. He's doing a little bit more as a runner as well, and it's a favorable matchup. Dak Prescott at seven against the Eagles. The Eagles have a way of making opposing quarterbacks look good for fantasy purposes, so firing up Dak, even though the offense trending down just a little bit. Josh Allen gets the streamer job this week. He comes in at eight against Miami. And by the way, Miami going to be led by Ryan Fitzpatrick. So here we go again. Jared Goff coming in at nine. Not crazy about Goff for a couple reasons. I'll get into that actually on Friday's pod. But it's a good matchup. Should be a really good game. The over-under, it opened, at 53.5, and it's already gone up to 55.5. I mean, yeah, giddy up. Tom Brady at 10 on Monday night. Aaron Rodgers at 11. Aaron Rodgers should be the number three fantasy quarterback by expectation, and he is not even close to that. So his receivers need to do a better job of helping him out here. Carson Wentz, and I do think they will going forward. Carson Wentz at 12. Just on the outside looking in, you could stream Jimmy G this week against Washington. Daniel Jones is in play against Arizona. Even though you have Patrick Peterson back, he is in play. Jacoby Brissett, even Gardner Minshew in that plus matchup against Cincinnati, I think he bounces back after last week's ugly performance. Moving on to running back. And at the top here, well, we're going with Dalvin Cook at the top because the way you defeat the Lions, or the way you beat them, I should say, at least offensively, is on the ground. You know, they have a pretty good pass defense, but they have struggled against the run. It was supposed to be Aaron Jones this past week. I said it was going to be a big rushing game. I just didn't think it was going to be Jamal Williams. By the way, a couple people asked me, hey, you didn't mention Jamal Williams. Yeah, that was by, that was not an accident. That was by design. I'm not picking him up. We've been down this road before with Jamal Williams, right? This was not a sign of Jamal Williams taking over. Jamal Williams had a fantastic matchup, and Aaron Jones screwed up. He fumbled and he basically, he dropped a surefire touchdown. So they went with the hot hand. It does put a little bit of a damper on Jones' overall outlook, but I'll tell you where he is ranked in just a minute here. Either way, Dal Cook, love him this week. Saquon, though, comes in at two. He's going to be back, and we fire him right back up into elite territory. Zeke at three. Sometimes in season-long fantasy football, people pay too close of attention to matchups. Matchups are much more beneficial for DFS purposes because, for example, this week, would I use Ezekiel Elliott? Certainly not in a cash game, no. In GPPs, it always makes sense to have a little bit of exposure to, especially bigger name guys like him, but I'm going to fade him in DFS, generally speaking. I'm fading him because it's a bad matchup. But in season long, I don't care if you're in a six-team league, you start Ezekiel Elliott every freaking week. Doesn't matter the matchup. The matchups only really matter when you're talking about, so you say you start three wide receivers. The first two probably are locked in place every week. So it's your third receiver spot that you're rotating each week, and you can rotate it based on matchups. If you have two running backs, probably both of them are every week guys, maybe your second running back. If you have a flex spot, your flex spot is a matchup play every week. If you're streaming a quarterback, it's a matchup play. If you're streaming a tight end, good freaking luck. Ugh. But that's where this comes into play. Matchups should never impact your studs. If you're doing that, you're overthinking it. Leonard Fournette coming in at four. He gets the cheat code matchup. He is second in the league in touches per game. Alvin Kamara at five, though, we'll keep an eye. He may have, it's called a high ankle issue, not sprain. So we'll see, but keep an eye on that one. Just a friendly reminder to pick up Latavius Murray if you have the room to do so. Chris Carson at six. Second in the league in rushing attempts through the first 6 weeks. Le'Veon Bell at seven. What I like about Bell is not necessarily the matchup on the ground, but his ability in, if they're in like comeback mode or, garbage time mode, basically, let's call it what it is, then he can really rack up a lot of yardage and receptions, you know, out of the backfield as a receiver. David Johnson at 8. I'm cooling off on David Johnson. Not that I was ever really high on him. I think I was lower than a lot of people entering the season anyway. But his ability to create yards after contact has not been there this season. He, out of running backs who have at least 50% of their team's carries, he's second to last in that number. Only two running backs under 2 yards after contact per attempt, and David Johnson is one of them. The other one is Sony Michel. Aaron Jones at 9. I'm still buying in on Aaron Jones. In fact, I think this is an interesting opportunity to maybe get him on the cheap if you have somebody panicking. Josh Jacobs at 10. Against Green Bay, you can run on Green Bay, and he is seeing some major volume. At least we saw that before the bye week there. Mark Ingram, not seeing a lot of volume, but coming in at 11 just because of how efficient he is. Phil Lindsay at 12. He's really putting some distance between himself and Royce Freeman in that backfield. Derrick Henry at 13. Is Ryan Tannehill good for this offense? I think he is, and I think we still use Henry as a fringe RB1. Joe Mixon, nice matchup against the Jags. They give up chunk yardage to opposing running backs, so there is some potential with him, using him as an RB2. Marlon Mack is an RB2 as well because of the volume. Kerryon Johnson, tough matchup this week against Minnesota. Still an RB2, though. Devontae Freeman trending up in the passing game, comes in at 17. Sony Michel, blah. I mean, no efficiency, but nobody else gets the ball, so is what it is. We're using him at 18. 19 and 20, Gordon and Eckler. It was really tough matchups over the last 2 weeks. Two really good run defenses, so expect them to rebound. I guess as of now, I'll use Gordon just slightly over Eckler. I hope I'm not in a position where I have to decide between the two, because that's a rough one. But if you had to, it's Gordon. I think you can still use Eckler independent of Gordon as an RB2. I'm probably not using both in that backfield, by the way. If I have both in my lineup, I may want to spread my eggs around to other baskets. Todd Gurley at 21. We'll see how he is through the week with practice. Matt Breida at 22. Tevin Coleman at 24. I mean, honestly, my model showed a little bit more upside for Breida in this one, but you can still use Coleman with confidence too. They're both RB2s this week. Which is an upgrade for both of them in season-long rankings. Compared to season-long rankings, it's an upgrade. James White at 23. Just on the outside looking in, Carlos Hyde, not a lot of upside, but you could use him as an RB2 at 25. Damian Williams, 27. I mean, it's tough to trust any of that backfield, but if I'm going to go with one, I guess it's him over McCoy, but it's close. I have McCoy at 29. David Montgomery at 28 there. The Eagles' backfield, 30 for Jordan Howard, 33 for Miles Sanders. Sanders only had 6 touches last week, so just be careful with him. And Frank Gore, a lot of people are up on him this week, but only a 32. Not a lot of upside for Frank Gore. Singletary will be back. He's practicing in full. Not using Singletary this week, but keeping him on the bench. Moving to wide receiver, Julio at 1. Doesn't matter for me. I don't think I'm going to move him either. If Ramsey does in fact play, I don't think I'm going to move him. He's due. This is a nice matchup regardless. And remember, even if it's a shadow situation, I would expect the shadow to be about 70 to 75% of routes in most shadow instances. So that still means 25% of routes he's not on that shadow corner. So he'll be just fine. DeAndre Hopkins at 2. I know a lot of people ticked off about last week, but he had double-digit targets. He's just not getting the work in the red zone that he has in the past couple seasons. Hopefully we see an uptick in that area. Cooper Kupp at 3. I love this matchup for Cooper Kupp. I love Cooper Kupp just in general, and I think the Rams bounce back in a big way this week. Ty Freak at 4. Hey, man, he got back on the field. He was an instant wide receiver 1. Michael Thomas at 5, on pace for over 140 receptions, and that's with Teddy under center for most of the season. Keenan Allen at 6. I think we see a bounce back from him as well. Tyler Lockett at 7. T.Y. back and back into wide receiver 1 territory. Got that rest that he needed. He should be good to go. Adam Thielen at 9. It's a tougher matchup this week, but I think Diggs gets the bigger downgrade. And in fact, I'm not downgrading Thielen, plus the fact he's seen 6 end zone targets over the last 2 weeks. Julian Edelman at 10. Michael Gallup with no Amari Cooper coming in at 11 against that Eagles secondary. I'm using Bob Woods and Brandon Cooks. They come in at 12 and 13 respectively. This is just a great matchup. And if it doesn't happen this week, especially really for Jared Goff, it's not going to happen. Will Fuller at 14, a huge game waiting to happen any given week. Just don't drop the football, bro. DJ Chark at 15. Came back to earth a little bit last week, but I do like this matchup for him. I think we see him get back to where he was before last week. Kenny Golladay at 16, so good at making those contested plays. Larry Fitzgerald at 17, one of my bigger upgrades this week. Out of the slot against Grant Haley. Sorry, Grant Haley, but future Hall of Famer could have his way. And he's really cooled off recently, so I think, you know, this is the week where we see, you know, the rubber meet the road with Fitzgerald. If it doesn't happen this week, then yeah, we're going to really downgrade expectations going forward. But I do think it happens. Cortland Sutton at 18 with Manny Sanders banged up. Now, Sanders is practicing, but it's a nice matchup too against Kansas City. So I like Sutton this week. Tyler Boyd at 19. I think this is a fair area to have Boyd. I don't think AJ Bouye shadows him, by the way. But, you know, it's going to be hit or miss with Tyler Boyd this season. John Brown at 20, nice matchup against Miami. Stephon Diggs, we could very well see a shadow from Big Play Slay on Stephon Diggs. So we have to be careful about that one. We also have to be careful of not chasing last week's stats. A lot of people do that. For fantasy purposes, it's never a good story. What you want to do is you want to look forward. And use, of course, you're using the previous pieces of information to help you out. But what I expect to see this week, Slay on Diggs, that puts a damper on Diggs. So I know people are high on him, and they're going to be disappointed probably by next week. Anyway, moving right along here to 22, Calvin Ridley, like really anything I can get in that game. Alshon Jeffrey at 23 had a lot of 12 targets last week. And then Scary Terry at 24, Terry McLaurin. Just on the outside looking in, Allen Robinson's got a tough matchup against Marshawn Lattimore in this one. And then Mike Williams trending up at 26. He's seen 21 targets over the last 2 weeks. It's a lot of usage for him there. I'm not going to use Robbie Anderson with much confidence against New England, but I do have him at least at 27 because, you know, as we saw with Golden Tate, you can still make a big play and still put up some decent fantasy value. Moving over to tight end at the top, a big game is brewing for Travis Kelce. I don't know when it's going to happen, but there's a lot of numbers right beneath the surface that says, whoa, watch out. So he stays at 1, George Kittle at 2. Austin Hooper, now an elite fantasy option at 3. Mark Andrews at 4. Zach Ertz at 5. Hunter Henry at 6. Then at Evan Ingram at 7, Darren Waller at 8. Now, why I blew through those so quickly is if you have these guys, Kelce, Kittle, Hooper, Andrews, Ertz, Henry, Ingram, Waller. If you have one of those 8, you're not too bad for yourself, all right? 8-team league, there's enough tight ends to go around maybe. If you have one of those 8, you're good. If you do not, things are going to be a little problematic. Because get this, if we go from 9 all the way down to 22, these guys are exactly the same. Ready? Delanie Walker, Gerald Everett, TJ Hockenson, Jimmy Graham, Jared Cook, Jason Witten, Eric Ebron, Noah Fant, Jack Doyle, Dallas Goedert, Jordan Akins, Dawson Knox, Darren Fells, Tyler Eifert. I don't think I go any further than that, but that's as far as I go. Those guys are exactly the same. Like, yes, Delanie Walker is ranked at 9 and Tyler Eifert is ranked at 22. But if you said I'm starting Eifert over Delanie Walker, I would say, yeah, I'm not going to talk you out of it because there's really no difference. Every one of those guys is three catches for 33 yards and maybe a touchdown. And if they score a touchdown, good on you. And if they don't, well, that tight end stinks, right? Well, he doesn't really stink. They're all the same guy. They are all the same freaking guy. So that's where we are with tight end right now. And that's why tight end is super annoying. It's basically a roll of the dice with any one of those guys. If you have that decision, I feel for you. I certainly do. But anyway, that is going to wrap it up for us today. Of course, remember, like I said at the top of the show, you can always answer your start-sit decisions very easily by just checking out the rankings at pff.com. Along with all the other goodies, there's so many fun things to look at, including, hey, the wide receiver cornerback matchup chart is updated. We do have Peters starting and Ramsey starting as of now. Neither one. Well, Peters doesn't shadow, but I do not have Jalen Ramsey shadowing as of now. We will change that, obviously, going forward if we get more information there. So anyway, that'll wrap things up for us today. I'll be back tomorrow to break down some Thursday night football and some wide receiver cornerback matchups for you. In the meantime, you can catch me on Twitter at Jeff Ratcliffe, on Instagram at Jeff Ratcliffe. All right, I'll catch you on the flip side for another edition of the pod. For PFF, I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out of here.